Hi everyone, it's Elaine Hamilton from the Reiki Center, and in my Chit Chat Lounge today, I have Lorena Ferreira, and we've known each other for years now, haven't we? So I'm very excited to have you on. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you for inviting me.
So you have a really interesting story, and I wanted to kind of interview you. Mainly because you just up sticks and decided to have a whole brand new life. And I love that. Like, it's so interesting to talk to people, and it's like you have your Reiki journey and you're poodling along, boo, boo, boo. And then it's suddenly like, boom, everything changes. And so I really wanted to kind of delve into that a little bit and how that felt for you and how the energy moved you, if you felt it like that, like what's going on. But I think, first of all, why don't we start with just a little bit of background on yourself and what brought you to Reiki and how the whole process unfolded for you?
Okay, background wise, pretty much an international, basically born in Brazil, grew up in the Isle of Man. I've lived in 10 different countries, so I always find it hard when somebody goes, "Oh, where are you from?" and talk about yourself. I'm like, "Well, where?" So I'm kind of used to change in locations and things. However, I was in Singapore when I first came across Reiki, and it was during COVID. So one like lots of people say COVID was such a terrible time. For me, it was actually an amazing time because it was the start of my discovery and journey deeper into things. Because before I was always busy working, going on holiday, and then suddenly I couldn't go on holiday. I was stuck in Singapore. My husband was stuck in France, so I was by myself in Singapore. I was a teacher, so I had the summer holidays, and it was like, oh wow, what am I going to do? And then so I did my yoga teacher training and meditation guiding training, and then a friend just said, shall we do Kelly, who I trained with, should we do Reiki? And I'm like, what's that? I didn't know Reiki at that time. She's the one who instigated this and said, should we do this? And the more I looked at it, I was like, yeah, let's, because we were on that trajectory. We'd done the courses together, and we did the Reiki, and we did the Reiki one because of COVID. It was online, so it wasn't in person. But Kelly and I were together. We were allowed to be two people together. So we were together during the training. So we went through that together. And I remember when we had our first attunement with you, we were at my house. And I must admit, we had the attunement. And then we both looked at each other and went, "Did you feel anything?" And we went, "No." "Did you?" "No." So at first, we were literally like, did it work? Did it work? So
Yeah, what
to
is
start
this?
with, we were really like, oh, okay, not sure. But then what happened to me was at the school I worked at, a friend of mine heard that I'd done a Reiki course. And then she was like, "Oh, Lorena, can you Reiki my knee?" She'd had problems with the knee for years, and she was actually having her whole, not the knee replaced, but the cartilage replaced. And she goes, "I'm going in for an operation soon. Can you do it? Because it's so painful." And I'm like, "Yeah, sure. Come to my classroom at lunchtime." And she did. She came to my classroom. So we were sat in my classroom, and I put my hands on her knee, and oh my goodness, that was like, what is happening underneath my hands? What is this? That was when it just went, wow. It worked. I could feel, I'm very tactile, so I feel Reiki. I feel it. I felt like bubbling underneath my hands. I felt heat, and I felt energy just moving up and down her leg. It was a really, for me, an amazing experience. For her, she felt it as well. And she also saw light shooting down from her knee down to her foot. And then afterwards, literally it was 10, 15 minutes I did this. And then she stood up and she goes, "Oh my goodness, I can bend my knee, I can walk." And I was gobsmacked. And after that, it was like, "Anybody want Reiki? I'll Reiki you." And it was in joke. It was like, "I'll Reiki that. I'll Reiki you. I'll Reiki you." And so then I just started Reiking everybody, and everybody who'd let me.
Yeah, not
No,
sneaking up behind them in the cafeteria.
everybody was like, they said, "Oh, I've got a sore neck. Do you want some Reiki?" "Oh, I hurt my shoulder. Oh, do you want some Reiki?" So yeah, so that's how it all started. And sometimes I think I wonder what would have happened if my friend with the sore knee hadn't asked me that day.
Interesting, isn't it? It's like sliding doors, isn't it? These opportunities. Amazing. Amazing. Ooh, chills.
I
Yeah.
know, I know. It's weird because, yeah, as I say, after the first attunement, we didn't really like, my friend Kelly and I were like, "Oh, I don't know, I don't know." But that was just instant. And yeah. And since then, I've had so many interesting experiences with Reiki, what I feel, what people feel when I do it to them. And then I remember when I did Reiki 2 with you. We did it in person then. We were allowed to be in person by that time. And when during the training, we had to Reiki another person. Remember, we were doing it and we put our hands on the head and we sent the Reiki down through the body. And when I was Reikiing this woman who I didn't know, I got this sharp pain in my lower back, which I thought, that's weird. And so I'm Reikiing her. And then afterwards, I'm like, I said to her, "Have you got a problem with your back?" And she's like, "Yeah, I was in a car crash when I was younger, and I've had back issues ever since." And then that was like, "Oh my goodness!" Again, another whole different thing. It opened up the fact that, I'm a bit of an empath. I often feel the pain, or when I'm raking somebody, I can feel where the problem is that they've had. Or
It's interesting, isn't it, when you say that? Because I guess for me, it's like one of those things that I've been doing it so long, it just feels so natural that you can do that. Like, why? Who can't do that almost? But as you're talking, I'm like, no, actually, we start to take it for granted that all this information is available and it's so simple and easy and it's just there. And it's like, well, the pain just arises. Like, I'm not doing anything special. And yet, it is, when you first start noticing it, it is very surreal, isn't it? It's like, oh my God, how is this happening?
Yeah, it is. And I think the fact that every time you do Reiki to somebody else, it feels differently. That's what amazes me. We are all different, and of course it's going to feel different because it's a different person, they're at a different stage. But it's and I think you're saying taking it for granted. I suppose I do as well now, take it more for granted. But I do know a friend who's also does Reiki, but she doesn't feel any movement. She doesn't feel that,
Yes.
you
Yes.
know. And I think if you do feel the response, like something's happening. But it's very hard for somebody, and some people don't feel, and that's what I say, to every client, is like, some people don't feel. It doesn't mean it's not working.
Right. But you're right. I think in a sense we're very lucky when we're empathic or sensitive to the energy, because then it's the proof. Because
Yeah,
I
you're
was
at
I had
the time.
exactly yeah I had exactly the same experience as you, except it was my mother giving me Reiki, and this I was very skeptical, and she was trying to get me to go to a Reiki one class, and I was like, no, that's hocus pocus. And she was like, oh, let me Reiki your back. And I had sciatica, so I did have a back issue, and when she put her hands on my back, it felt like she put a freaking iron on it. Like, it was so hot. I was like, okay, this is not,
Yeah.
And there's nothing in my mind that could make sense of it. You know what I mean? And it was that exact same, that was the sliding door moment for me. I was just like, this defies logic. This is not, doesn't matter how hocus pocus I think it is, there is a burning hot iron on my back right now. And I even grabbed her hands. I'm like feeling her hands, like she's sneaking some kind of hot pad into her hands. Oh, it was bizarre, but you're right. I mean, going all the way back then, it was like magic. I was just mind blown by the whole thing. But I do wonder if I hadn't been as sensitive to the energy, if I'd been so convinced, you know. It's a good point.
I must admit, I think I've had maybe one or two clients who haven't felt anything, which, is a small percent. And I sometimes wonder, well, I know the Reiki is working, but I find it really hard to know who it is. Like when somebody comes to you and you think, oh yeah, they'll be really open and they will really feel something. And sometimes they're the ones who don't feel as much. And then you have these clients who come and you Reiki them, and afterwards they're like, oh my God, I felt this, I did this and this. And you're like, whoa. And you're like really surprised how they respond. And the way what they feel is so different to what I feel.
Yes. It's amazing, isn't it? I've had the exact same thing. Like often now, and this is over years, when the person comes in very spiritual, you know, like I'm a Tai Chi teacher, I'm a meditation teacher, I'm a spiritual guru. Those are the ones I worry most about because I'm like, sometimes they can be just so dead inside because they're all gurified. You're just like, And then it's like the bodybuilder coming in with his girlfriend just because she dragged him in, and he's the one that got a whack.
Yeah, he's like, oh my goodness, what did you just do to me?
I love it. I love that about Reiki. It's like you, there's no real, it's like, and I guess over the years, I would describe it as a certain openness, like an honesty with the openness rather than a thinking you're open when in fact you're shut as tight as a clam, right? And it's the openness to the healing or the openness for change maybe, or, you know, but there's a certain readiness, and then it's like, it all just bursts open. And whether that comes through as a sensation or whether that just comes as a deep, like, relaxation or some, but there's something that happens, right? And then the person's left feeling, okay, something happened, right?
And some, as you say, like sometimes it is just an openness. I've had people afterwards just saying, I feel lighter. I feel just like a weight has just been lifted off. So it's not that physical, the heat. It's just that sort of lifting of like, ah, whatever was keeping them down. That's what I love about Reiki as well. It's not just the physical, it's the emotional and the mental aspect of it.
And I think
If
also
that's what you need, that's what you get.
sometimes they can walk out of the session or walk out of the introduction or the workshop or whatever, kind of like you did, which is a bit like, okay, well, that was kind of weird and didn't really feel much. And then there's something. I had this woman that texts me after an intro talk. So that was just literally an intro talk and then an attunement, and then they did a little bit of Reiki in amongst themselves in the group, and then she went home, didn't feel anything. Kind of left thinking, well, that was a bit nondescript, right? And she texts me next morning because she went home and she sat and she told her mum all about it. And then they had a really nice conversation. And it wasn't until the next morning she woke up and she was like, hang on a minute, my relationship with my mother is usually so fractious. I don't talk to her. And yet she'd gone home and just had this beautiful conversation and not even realized it till the next morning how weird that was and how unusual that was. And so sometimes it can just be everything feels so normal and balanced and harmonious, you don't even notice, you know what I mean? And then it's later on where you think, oh, hang on a minute, that's not what I would usually have done.
No, I think Reiki has a profound effect on people.
Amazing. Yeah.
By
Anyway, we've
Reiki,
gone
I
off on a
really
tangent.
enjoyed
We did
it.
say we could talk about Reiki for the entire interview, which is what we're doing.
Yeah. I Reiki'd somebody the other day, and bless, he after we finished it, I went to his house, luckily, because afterwards he just had to sleep. He fell asleep for 2 hours afterwards. He was shattered. He was just like, he'd been lying on the bed for the hour for the session, and then afterwards he just literally got off that bed, sat on the sofa, and was gone for 2 hours because his body needed rest. He's
Yes.
recovering from an operation, so it was like, that's
Yeah.
what you need.
Yeah. And that's also interesting to notice how different it can be, because for a lot of people they're like, well, Reiki should make me feel fuller and better and this and that. And then sometimes it doesn't, right? Like you say, it makes you really notice how exhausted the body is or what the body really needs. And sometimes people can just like cry for hours afterwards, or they can wake up next morning feeling really grumpy and angry. And so it's like whatever emotion needs to come out can sometimes that can sometimes happen. And like you say, that level of exhaustion in the body is seen.
Yeah.
And then that healing, that really what he needed in that time was really to sleep, right? And to rejuvenate.
Yeah.
So yeah, so you don't always get the results that you expect, which is what I find the most interesting, because it really keeps you humble in that sense. Like you don't know what's going on for that person, and you just gotta trust it.
Yeah, I love talking to the clients after a session. How was that? And then they suddenly start, and you're like, oh, wow, you've been on a journey. I've
Yeah.
had quite a few people levitating, feeling like they're levitating and floating during Reiki. And then one person that she felt like she was levitating and hovering. And then I finished it off by holding her feet. And she felt like when I went to her feet that I would sort of went and pulled her back onto the table. And she wasn't happy. She wanted to stay. She was having a lovely time. It was like, so that was funny. So, you don't know what experience they're having during the Reiki. And
It's
so it's
beautiful, isn't it?
always interesting afterwards saying, now, how was that for you?
Yeah, it is so beautiful. I know, we're very lucky with our jobs. So, okay, so let's go back. So you're in Singapore, you've done your Reiki 2, and then so how did it kind of transpire? And we don't have to go through the whole thing bit by bit, because I'm kind of quite interested to bring us into the present moment, because you went from Singapore as a teacher and then.
To France, to the southwest of France. Yeah, well, because of COVID, well, my husband and I were separated for 18 months. He was in France and I was in Singapore, because that Christmas of 2019, or the January of 2020, we said goodbye at the airport, and it was like, oh yeah, see you at Easter, see you at Easter. Like this, thinking that was the whole idea. He was going to stay here and renovate the house while I went back to Singapore. Of course, we didn't see each other at Easter, we didn't see each other in the summer, and Singapore was very strict. So, and I had to finish my contract out. So yeah, after 18 months of being separated, I finished off in Singapore and came and joined him in the south of France. And this little, how would you describe it? It's an old farmhouse with a gite and stuff. So, and yeah, changed my life again. And it was lovely. And then, as you say, I was a teacher. And then to me, it was a natural step to then do Reiki 3 and Reiki Masters, because one, I felt Reiki, everybody should know Reiki. It's there. Everybody can do it. And it's like the more people you can get doing Reiki and helping themselves, to me, that's, if everybody in the world could do a Reiki, it would be such a different place.
Yeah.
So it was a natural step for me to then go and do Reiki 3 and become a Reiki master. So to use my teaching skills as well to then teach people how to do Reiki for themselves. So that's you came over and we did had a lovely week and did all my training.
So lovely. Like, seriously, you live in the most beautiful area. Yeah.
Yeah,
So a
they wake up
shout
each
out, because
morning.
Lorena's doing retreats and all sorts. So we will put your link down there. Honestly, she lives in the most
Yes.
beautiful part of France. It's gorgeous. So yeah. Really, it's really nice. And you've set it up
Got
really
nice
nicely as
energy.
well.
It really has a
Yeah.
lovely energy. Yeah, you know, it's a very positive place where I am. You know, I wake up each day, look at the Pyrenees, and just think, ah, I'm lucky.
Yeah, right. And it's
Which is
interesting how it's
good.
just opened up for you as well, right? Because it was a very snap decision at the time, wasn't it? To just go, okay, we're going to buy this.
Yes. A very snap decision. We had a friend who lived in the area, and we came to visit them on holiday. We had some friends, and it was literally, oh, isn't it nice around here? And we these little French villages, and they've got their estate agents' windows, and so we started looking in the windows, and it was like, oh my, look at this one, look at that, oh my goodness. And it was just, aren't they beautiful, these houses, look how cheap they are, like this. And so we went in and just went, oh, can we look at this one, this one, this one, and this one. And yeah, we saw four. And literally when we came here with this French estate agent, I didn't speak French then, so my husband was talking to him. And we walked around, and then after about half an hour, my husband just went, oh yeah, she wants it. That's, you know, and the estate agent goes like, you've only just really seen it. And he goes, no, I can tell. I can tell, you know. And then, yeah, the next day we walked into the estate agent's office and said, like, we want to buy that house. And he was shocked because it was instant. It was just, yeah, this is it. And yeah, we'd only come on holiday to see our friends, and we ended up going home having bought a house.
Most people was like, oh, I went on holiday and all I got was a t-shirt. And you walk out with a farmhouse.
Yeah, honestly, it was a bit of a surprise. We got back on the plane and it was like,
What have we
have
just done?
we just bought a house?
Oh my God. But don't you love moments like that? Because, you know, I mean, to be fair, it could have been an utter disaster and you could have a year later gone, shit. But
Yeah, why
I mean,
did we do
look, seriously, like,
that?
look what you've done with it. It's kind of like you've renovated it, you're doing Airbnb, you're doing retreats, you know, we're talking earlier about your French has just come on leaps and, I
Yeah.
mean, it's amazing, really.
Yeah, you know, and I do believe in change, you know, the saying everything has changed and everything does change. And being open to change. I think that's an issue that people are afraid of change. You know, they like where they are, or they feel this is they're comfortable where they are. And so they don't have the courage or the desire to go live somewhere else. It's not for everybody. It's hard. It's not easy uprooting yourself and moving to a completely new country. You know, it isn't easy. But there are so many rewards to it,
Yes.
you know.
Yes. And I think also, I don't know about you, but because I'm very similar, like I moved around since I was seven. And so the getting into a new school, getting into a new country, making new friends, all this kind of thing was just part of my life. I didn't actually know what it was like not to do that.
Not to, you
Right.
know.
And so I do, but I do see, like, here in the UK, the people I know, they don't want to move around because their family, their friends, their life, their everything is in the same place. And I kind of get that as well. Like, I think if my entire family was all in the same town, I would find it a lot harder to move. But,
Yeah.
you know, as my family is exactly like me, like, we're scattered across seven different countries. So I'm kind of like, well,
Yeah.
there is no kind of home that is trying to pull me back, because there's
Yeah.
no structure like that. So therefore, it is easier in a sense to move around, because you're just kind of like, well, Everyone's moving
when it,
around.
yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know, in the different countries I've lived in, lots of people say, oh, which was the best place that you've lived in, Zambia or Singapore? And I'm like, they were the right place at the right time of my life. For that time of my life, it was the right place. You know, I enjoyed being there. I've loved, you know, everywhere I've lived, and everywhere has positives and negatives. You know, I'm not foolish to think, you know, this is perfect. This place is going to be perfect. There's always going to be something that's, you know, maybe niggles you a bit. But you can, I don't know, I do believe in being happy with yourself. You know, you can be happy anywhere. You can be in the most beautiful place. If you're not happy with yourself,
Yes.
then you will be unhappy there. You know, you take yourself with you. It's not like, you know, so you have to be yourself, content with what, you know, who you are, what you are. So, yeah. And I think Reiki helps with that as well. I think Reiki is very grounding, you
A
know.
lot of people, a lot of teachers that I've spoken with, they have a very similar feeling to what I have, which is this idea when you do your Reiki, it's like a homecoming. So a little bit like you say, like when you're content, when you're contained, then it doesn't really matter where you are on the planet or what you're doing even, because there's your home is within yourself. And like you say, you take yourself wherever you go. So you're taking your home with you wherever you go. And then it's just more about the experiences you're having rather than the trying to get something from it.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I get more of a sense, rather than the being home, when I Reiki myself, I get more of a of just like a wave of calm. That sort of just like, ooh, you know, now I'm at like at peace sort of thing. So yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. So tell me about, so obviously we've kind of said you're here and you're in France and you're doing your stuff. So what's your kind of hopes, I guess, or your goals, or like what's happening? What's happening with you?
Oh, my life's changing as always. Well, I think we'll always be renovating, but I think we've done up quite a lot of renovations. We're at a point now where we've got our gîte up and running. My yoga studio is, we've still got to put the wooden floor in, but at the moment it's usable with the concrete floor, and that is really coming on nicely. And so I'm teaching yoga in there, and then off that I have my Reiki room. So I'm starting with my business of retreats, as you were saying, having people out. My dream, I haven't done it yet, and hopefully this year I'll get people here, is to run retreats here, where people come for the week. We do Reiki, we do walking in the Pyrenees, swimming in the lakes and the rivers, and eating my husband's delicious food, like, because
A
he's an
great
amazing
cook.
cook, as you know. I really want more people to do Reiki. So I have got one retreat where it's Reiki and yoga. So start the day with some yoga, then do Reiki 1 and Reiki 2 within the week, which I know is a bit fast, which that's the one thing I'm wondering about, but it would be over like 6 days. We'd do it with a lot of practice together, and thrown in with the appreciation of the nature that's around here, because it is a beautiful place. So I'm hoping to run retreats where people come and do that. And I've also my I'm at first when I first started thinking about doing retreats, I had all these ideas. I'm going to do this, 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 this. Now I've come down to two retreats. One is going to be the Reiki and yoga, and one's going to be yoga and art with an introduction to Reiki. You know, I'm
Nice.
trying to get the Reiki in, but I know lots of people are yoga people rather than Reiki people. So yeah, and I teach Reiki when I have people who come and ask if I could teach them Reiki. So I do that. So online and in person, I've taught Reiki to people
Amazing.
and just, yeah, keep doing that. That's what I'd like to do.
Yeah, amazing. And has it been difficult in terms of, like, obviously you're juggling a lot of things, you're getting the rooms ready and you're doing all that kind of thing, and you're also trying to learn the language as well, because right?
French is not the easiest
It's
language
not,
to learn.
it's
Oh my
not
God, I
the
don't know
easiest.
why they have so many letters that they don't sound. Like you see a word and it's like, how do you pronounce that? Do I sound that letter or not? Do
To me, also, it's all the words that have gender. I'm like, how am I supposed to remember
Oh,
what gender is, what animal, or what is a table, a l, or a la? I mean,
yeah.
it's, oh my God, honestly, I'm just, that just is so, why do you have that extra complexity? That's just way too
If
difficult.
you find that hard, be careful. I did German as my degree. That's you've got feminine, masculine, and neuter. So
Yeah,
you've
true.
got three to choose from. That's like what? But yeah. So no, we've definitely been very busy. Busy, busy, busy. But yeah. Sorry, what was your question?
I was wondering if it had been difficult to kind of
difficult.
attract the, or any lessons that you've learned, I guess, if anybody's listening that is also thinking about starting afresh. Because oftentimes, you know, when people train as a Reiki teacher, they want to teach. And then there is a kind of quite a steep learning curve, because you think, oh, because it's so wonderful, everyone's going to want it. And then when you hit the reality of it, it's exactly like you said, like, actually, people are probably more interested in yoga and art and nature. And then the Reiki subset seems to be a lot smaller, I guess, than we'd think it would be, because it's so amazing. But of course, we're the ones that think it's amazing, and that sometimes doesn't trickle out into the general population. It can be a bit of a shock to realize how niche we actually are. Does it?
Yeah, no, and I must admit, this is something I am still learning. I'm still on that learning curve, definitely. And I know one thing I still need to do is learn a lot more about marketing, you know, and how to spread. Nowadays, it's a lot on Insta and a lot on Facebook. You know, you have to be really proactive, and that's something I'm not very good at. You know, that is something I do still need to learn. So if you did want to set your business up, yes, it's learn to do it, but then you also have to learn how to advertise yourself, you know, and how to market yourself. This time last year, I was creating a website. You know, that was a huge learning curve, how to create my own website. That was like, oh. So I think that's huge. That is huge, that sort of aspect of it. Because as you say, you know it's wonderful, but you have to let other people know as well. And I offer Reiki to people often as well, you know, if somebody's not feeling well. So you, and it doesn't have to be a formal session. You know, like the other day, I was around at a friend's house for dinner and there were several people there, but she'd hurt her hand. She'd burnt her hand. And so we just sat during the dinner and I just put my hand on hers. And she's like to the others, oh, she's not holding my hand, she's raking me. I said, yeah, no, I'm just raking. So it's like not doing it officially, you know, as a treatment, but those opportunities that arise, and then other people see that what you're doing, and they're like, oh, what is that? What, you know, and that sparks interest,
Yes. No, I think you're
you
absolutely
know,
right. Yeah, it's like the
just,
willingness to be constantly bringing it into the awareness of others without being annoying, right? Without nagging, but it's just the natural outpouring of, if somebody's injured or if someone has a headache or if someone is, to actually just say, oh, well, maybe I can help with that. Because if, like your friend with the knee, if something powerful happens, then they become your biggest advocates, actually.
So I think that is definitely, I would recommend that, looking for opportunities which where you can do it throughout the day, you know, not in formal sessions.
But it is tough though, I think, for people. I think people, when they get out and they're like, oh, it's a little bit like life coaching, you know, people, I'm changing, I'm going to be a life coach. And then you get out into the market and you realize there's 10,000 life coaches for every person that needs a life coach. Yeah.
Oops.
Not so easy. And I think sometimes with Reiki, it can also be an education in itself, an education of what Reiki is, and also an education of what Reiki isn't, because it also depends on where you are as to what the idea of Reiki is in the first place. So it's kind of breaking down some of those. So it's not only about marketing yourself as the Reiki teacher, but it's also marketing Reiki, right? It's like the whole thing, because there is so much misinformation. Well, not misinformation, but over the years, Reiki has kind of morphed into lots of other things. I think it's lost a lot of its straightforwardness in that sense, in certain areas, right?
Yeah, I think here in France they also have something called magnetism and energies, or something, I don't know. So they have a different form of energy work, which people have heard of. So lots of people think it's those types of work and not Reiki.
Yeah, and there probably is quite
So
similar. There's probably quite a lot of similarities
it's
about it.
energy work. It's energy work, but you know. It is slightly different. Oh, yeah, and some people have, lots of people seem to think it comes from China.
Oh, fair enough.
When you say, you know, and you're like, really? Okay. You know, but that's just the misconception that they, you know, heard it. Oh, yeah, isn't it from China? Isn't it where you know, where you levitate or something like that, you know, and you're like, no, it's not quite like that.
Only some of my patients levitate. Oh, I mean
Oh,
clients. Only some of my
yeah,
clients
clients.
levitate.
Not
Not everybody.
everybody. I realize that
People feel they do. Even though for me, their bodies are definitely still on
what
the
some
table.
people do. They're definitely on the table. I know.
Because it just feels like such a beautiful unfolding process that has happened for you.
Yeah, and the only. To be honest, the only regret, I was thinking of this, you know, I love Reiki. My only regret about Reiki is that I didn't come to it earlier. I really wish I had discovered Reiki earlier in my life. So much. I would like, if I, you know, when my kids were little or when my mum was still alive, you know, my mother would have loved Reiki, you know. And so yeah, I would, that's why I want everybody
Yeah, I was
to
just
learn
about to say that's
Reiki.
that sound that feels and sounds like that's the desire in you to almost publicize it so other people have the opportunity to know it earlier, right? Just so that they, because I'm with you. I mean, like I do feel so lucky that it came into my life so early, because it meant
Well,
that,
you are really young.
yeah. And actually, and my kids were even younger, right? So I've kind of passed it down to them, and I do think that a lot of their resilience, and I think a lot of my resilience, and certainly my relationship with my mother. You know, we didn't have the easiest of relationships before Reiki, and that really brought us together. Like, she's my best friend now. And I feel so grateful. It's like Reiki in my life has just been such an important part of it. And I think that's why, for me, it feels like home, you know, because all my adult life I've had it. So it has been home in that sense. As I've moved around and done different things, it's that constant that has,
It's the
oh
continent.
yeah, always been there through thick and thin, you know. But I just, it's just so interesting when I talk to people, this unfolding process that just seems to happen, like, you know, like that one incident with the knee, right, where it's like, wow. And then the one incident, you look at the house and you're like, yes. And
That's it. Yeah.
Right. And
Follow that instinct, follow your intuition. You
well, it's
know
right
it's right.
there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, literally, it's right there. And it's almost like just this amazing unfolding process. And in part, you can't really miss it. But as you say, it's whether or not you have the courage to go, yes, I'm gonna buy this house, or yes,
Yeah.
I'm gonna offer Reiki to somebody who's suffering, even if they might look at me and think I'm crazy. Right. And
Yeah.
that's a lot of people wouldn't do that because they're like, oh, I don't want to embarrass myself, or I don't want people asking me what's Reiki, blah, blah, blah. But just the when there's this instinct or this, like you say, this intuitive sense to say something, do something, offer something, and you take it, then there's a deep unfolding that can happen. But if you're constantly pushing back at it, going, oh, no, I can't put myself out there for whatever reason,
Oh, yeah, or yeah, or being worried what other people will think of you.
then
You
nothing can
know.
shift, nothing can change really, can it? Because it's like, well, how it's almost like, how is the universe supposed to offer you these gifts if you don't actually take them? Right? Just left at your feet and then you walk over them. Yeah. I think that's a good little wrap up, actually, to finish up. So we're going to put your details down at the bottom of this in the blurb. So if anybody fancies a beautiful retreat to the south of France, it's not south of France, sorry, you're near
Southwest France. We are
west,
southwest. Yeah, no, because
southwest.
if you say the south of France, people think Nice
Nice.
and Marseille and that side of the coast. But I like this side. We've got Spain nearby, we've got the Pyrenees and the Atlantic coast. So
It's beautiful. And when I came to visit you, I did a little side trip to Lourdes. Oh, I want to come back. I've just like I keep on getting these flashbacks of the energy there, and I was just like, oh my God, I need to go back and sit in that cathedral again. It's not a cathedral,
yeah.
is it? It's a Lord. Is it a
I
Lord's Cathedral?
for me, it's the grotto down the bottom. If you go to the grotto, there's a lot of energy there.
Yes.
Lots
Yeah.
of
Where the
energy.
water actually comes through and out. Right. Oh my God. Yeah. I spent a whole afternoon sitting there just like, oh. Oh, thank you so much, Lorena. It's been such a joy chatting with you.
Welcome. Yeah, always a pleasure to talk to you, hey?
And for everyone else, I hope you really enjoyed it, and see you next time.
Bye.